Number 95 in the regular book.
Tis a blessed hour of prayer when our hearts slowly bend as we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to Him in faith, His perfection to share, what a
yeah.
Supplement.
Yeah.
Let us bow. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather today and to sing songs of praise and worship to you. We pray that our uplifting of our voices this afternoon will be acceptable in your sight and will go up as a sweet-smelling savor. Thank you, Father, for being our Father. And as your children, we know that we sin, and we ask for your forgiveness, which we know that you will. Thank you for your providence over us. Help us all, Father, to be humble and lowly in spirit, for in realizing that we need you every hour. And we know that we're very dependent upon you. We ask, Father, for your blessings and your providence upon this congregation of your people. May we grow in unity and love for one another, that we might encourage one another in this sinful world. Be with the men in leadership roles here. Continue to bless them and their families. Be with the fathers and the mothers here at Westview. And may they train up and rear their children up in the admonition of your word. We know, Father, that Satan is walking around seeking whom he may devour. And we pray, Father, that he will not get any of our children. We are mindful and we are saddened by the fact that we have brothers and sisters here at Westview that are sick. Some seriously sick. We'd ask you, Father, to be with Sherry Mackey. Be with June Reese, Carolyn's sister. Be with David Griffin as he recuperates from surgery. And we know that there are others on the list. Several that are having surgery scheduled for even this week. And if it be your will, Father, we ask you to restore them to their health. And may they have many years left on this earth. As we live out our years here on this earth, may we walk closer to you and draw nigh to you and depend upon you and have a relationship with you. That is our aim in this life. We know that life is short. Today, as we strive to worship you, may our singing and our devotions be acceptable to you. And thank you for being our Father and for the wonderful home that you have prepared for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Next song will be number 63, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need
Next song will be number 76, Closer to Thee. Next song will be number 115 out of the supplement, Healing in Its Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Next song will come after, come from our regular book number 70, One Step at a Time. Let's stand as we sing the song.
No soul, one step at a time, dear Savior, I cannot take anymore. The flesh is so weak and hopeless, I know not what is before. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, till hope grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear
. 627 from the Hymns for Worship. Like a Little Child.
Safety, thou hast won. like a little child, knowing thou wilt cherish and protect me. Mend what's broken, cleanse what I've defiled, trusting in thy goodness without doubting. I have loved thee like a little child.
104 from the supplement. Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul.
Unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul.
Let not my enemies triumph over me.
Yea, let none that
wait
on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that
wait
on thee be ashamed.
Let not my enemies triumph over me.
Remember not
the sins of my youth.
Number 97 from the supplement, Servant's Song.
Make me a servant just like your Son, for he was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you. Make me a servant. Take all my pride, for I would be lowly, humble inside. And may all
Shine with your light. Show me your footsteps and what I should do. For now and forever, make me like you.
Number 69 from the Hymns for Worship. What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. As we trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be disturbed. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find the solace there.
We certainly appreciate you all being here and singing with us. We have visitors this afternoon. We're glad that you come to be a part of our singing service and certainly want to invite you to be back whenever you can. We want to take just a moment before we conclude our worship service tonight and to extend an invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who come. As you, many of you, probably all of you, noticed this week that Billy Graham passed away. Certainly a iconic American figure for generations on the public scene. Often linking the idea of morality and religion and spiritual activity to politics. I was reading an article this past week that talked about how many presidents talked to Billy Graham and used him at various times for advice and would bring him in and to answer questions and help him deal with situations when George Herbert Walker Bush, or we say Bush 1, was trying to decide whether or not to use the military to get the Iraqis out of Kuwait and to regain that territory and drive them back into Iraq and make war against Iraq and Saddam Hussein, that he called Billy Graham and talked to Billy Graham about the morality of that and what the Bible says about war and about going to war and struggling with those type of issues when Bill Clinton was involved in the salacious affair that he had with an intern and had to deal with the consequences of what that did to his marriage, to his family, to the nation, as people watched and saw that play out on television and in the political world. He called Billy Graham. Billy Graham came up there and spent days with, at my understanding, at the White House, meeting with him, meeting with his family, talking to him through those times. And I remember sometime later seeing Billy Graham on TV. He was on the Larry King show. And Larry King was talking to him about some of these presidents. And he said, "What attracted you to these men?" And he said, "Well, it wasn't so much that I was attracted to these men. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican." He said, "I tried to see myself as a servant of Christ and a preacher of the gospel." And he said, I was drawn to these men because these men need prayer. And they need direction. All men need direction from the Word of God." And I appreciated that sentiment, appreciate what he said. I think he's right about that. But he went on to say, during that period of time, King asked him the question, "Well, what did you say to Bill Clinton?" And he said, "I told him that he needed God's forgiveness, that he needed to repent, and he needed to make it right. I told him that he was a sinner, but I also told him that I'm one." And I appreciated that humility that you could see. I think probably for my generation of people, I remember when I was a young boy, my dad was a member of the Lord's Church, a very faithful servant of the Lord, and raised us to be, and taught us the gospel, taught us the Word of God, took us to church, made sure we did those spiritual activities that he thought was best for us in our life. But I remember he would turn on and we'd watch the Billy Graham Crusades come on TV, and he'd make us sit there and watch that. And he'd say, "Now, boys," he said, "let's listen to what he has to say, and let's see if he's right." And there'd be a few times my dad would stop me and say, "Now, Casey, did you hear what he said?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is he right?" And I'd say, "Well, I think he's right." And they'd say, "Well, let's read what the Bible says and see if he's right." And there'd be many of those times that my dad would say, "You know what he said, he's right." And there'd be a few times that he would say, "Well, now you notice, he didn't say that exactly right, did he, according to the Word of God?" So we tried, my dad used that as a teaching tool. But I think in his mind had respect for his effort, what he was trying to accomplish. And one of the more neat stories I heard about Billy Graham was that, you know, many of you know that Johnny Cash became a person who was committed to Billy Graham's cause. And he went and toured with him on these crusades, performed with him at these crusades. And back in the 60s, after Johnny Cash had gotten arrested and went to jail for drug problems, that he's trying to turn his life around, make it right. But he decided he wanted to have a concert in Folsom Prison. That most of the letters he got, he noticed a lot of the letters he got were from people who were in prison. And it kind of touched his heart that these people were struggling, and they'd committed sins and they'd committed crimes, but they were stuck there. And so he wanted to do a concert, a live concert in Folsom Prison and have it recorded. And the record company was really against that. You know, they said, "Man, we're not recording an album down there with a bunch of thieves and liars and cheats and whatever, all these people that are in prison." He said, "Nobody's going to buy that album, John." He said, "Nobody wants to hear you sing to a bunch of murderers and rapists and drug dealers. Nobody wants to hear you sing to them nobody wants to hear you try to brighten their day and help them out." They said, "Your people, your fans are Christians. And they don't want to hear you trying to do good to somebody who's in prison." And Johnny Cash responded by saying, "Well, then they're not really Christians." And later I read that he'd actually got that quote from Billy Graham, that he had talked to Billy Graham about doing that. And Billy Graham reminded him that the Bible says to visit those who are in prison, so go. But one problem my dad always had with some of the things, or one of the things particularly that he taught, was about salvation. And what the Bible taught about how it is that a person is cleansed of his sins. And we've been talking about that a lot lately. And our next door neighbor was a huge Billy Graham disciple. And him and my dad would talk about it. And they would have these debates across the yard about salvation and what the Bible teaches about salvation. And often that led to a discussion about baptism. And I remember one day as a little boy, I would sit and listen to that, you know, and listen to them debate and banter about and talk about Bible and scriptures. And the man said to my dad, he said, "Crutch," he says, "Reverend Graham," he said, "when he has one of these crusades, he has 10,000 people there. He can't baptize all them people." He said, "I watch sometimes," he said, "be 2,000 people will come forward. He can't baptize all 2,000 people." And my dad would always say, Peter did. And he would turn to Acts chapter 2, and verse 38, and he'd say that they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And verse 40 of that chapter says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. About 3,000 souls in one day were baptized. It can be done. Well, let me tell you, we're not here inviting 10,000 people to come to the Lord. In fact, the large number of people in this audience today have already made that journey. And they've already made that confession. They've already repented of their sins. They've already been baptized for the remission of their sins. But it may be that there are some here who have not. And so tonight we call whoever is here. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Now that's Jesus' invitation to you. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you won't have to stand in line long to be baptized tonight. Even if it's two of you that come, or three of you, or five, we would hope that all who hear these words tonight, who have not yet been baptized into Jesus Christ, that you will come. And what that will show is that whether it's one or 3,000, that will show that you're somebody who gladly receives the Word of God. Won't you come while we stand and sing?